What will be the biggest cybersecurity threats in 2011? McAfee Labs has some predictions. Their 2011 Threat Predictions Report was released this morning, and Security Research and Communications Director Dave Marcus joins us with a look at their findings. Good morning. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so you've listed a lot of threats that people should worry about, and I want to just talk about some of them specifically. And one I see right at the top of the list is so widely used on all the social media, including by the government, and that is short URL service abuse. So this is when I want to link to something at a social media site or in a blog entry, and I go to one of those sites that takes a big, long web address and turns it into a few little letters and numbers. Is that what we're talking about here?
That is absolutely what we're talking about, and you nailed it right on the head. There is you're taking the big long address and you're making it into a short address, which makes perfect sense, right? But it's inherently easy to abuse that because the user does not know where they're going to, right? You know, so it's inherently easy to abuse, and the fact that not a lot of those services that are out there do any checking whatsoever. So they're not doing a check on the site. Does the site you go to send out spam? Does it actually host exploits? There's not a lot of checking going on in the background. So, you know, it's very easy to abuse. And throughout 2010, we saw a lot of abuse in that sense. And we fully expect to see more of that in 2011. So on the back end, people really got to start paying attention, you know, to what they're clicking. Expand the URL before you go there. Use those URL preview services. Things like that can be a very effective way to fight it.
So in other words, if you are at one of those places and you're clicking on one of those little URLs, you can actually expand it and see the real URL before you click?
Absolutely. A lot of the technologies today allow for previews, and it also depends upon what service you use to actually create the short URL in the first place. So there are ways for people to protect themselves as well.
Now, more and more federal employees, more of all of us really, are going mobile with our computing as the cell phones get more and more powerful. And so many of these devices now and the applications have what you're calling location services, or you're calling the substantial problem here, locative service abuse.
Yes.
What's that all about?
Yes. For instance, I don't know if you have an iPhone, but oftentimes if you use an application or a device, it'll ask you the question, do you want to allow this application to use your location information? If you click yes to that, you're essentially turning on GPS functionality on your device. Now, if you're aware of that, that's perfectly fine. But that also means that you can be tracked. It's very easy for, you know, the bad guys to go out to websites and actually track it on a globe and actually track where you're actually tweeting from, where you're actually using Facebook from, or where you're even living or where you're having coffee. So think about that for a minute. That's a huge way that someone can track where you live, where you work, where you get coffee, and the route that you drive to work. And again, if you're aware that the application is using it and that you're sharing that information and you're comfortable with it, that's perfectly fine. But a lot of people just don't realize how much of that information is being shared.
So I imagine if you're, say, in the Drug Enforcement Administration or the FBI, for example, you'd never want to touch that one with a 10-foot pole.
You would think. It's really just very easy to go to Google Earth and actually start plotting out GPS coordinates on an actual globe. So you can actually see the route people drive to work. You can see where they live. You can see where they get coffee, where they have lunch. And, you know, again, if you're aware that that's happening, that might be perfectly fine. But a lot of people aren't aware of how other applications and mobile devices actually use and share that information.
We're speaking with Dave Marcus. He's Security Research and Communications Director for McAfee Labs. Now, you mentioned iPhone, and that brings up the subject of Apple. And those of us that pretty much exclusively, when we can use Macs, have been fairly smug over the last few years about the lack of cyber threats that seem to hit us. That's changing too, you're predicting.
Absolutely. And you know, a lot of us are Macophiles. I consider myself a Mac user as well. I have just about every single hardware platform that Mac uses. And it certainly has had that kind of sense of invulnerability for several years. That's certainly gone away. You know, we even saw botnets and actual malicious code throughout 2010, even in 2009. You know, not in the huge amounts and huge numbers we see for the Windows platform, but it's simple numbers. If a lot of people are going to use the iPad to do banking, there's going to be threats for that kind of data on the iPad. It's as simple as that. And when you look at how businesses now are adopting lots of other forms of applications and operating systems. It's again, if you're going to go home and take that iPad that you have at home and bring it into work, there's going to be threats to it. If you're doing business or if you're conducting financial transactions on those Apple platforms, there's ultimately going to be threats for that. We started seeing it in recent years, and we certainly expect to see a lot of it in 2011.
Now, we've been talking about a lot of personal-based types of threats. What are some of the enterprise and application threats that agencies might face in greater numbers starting in 2011 rolls around here?
That's a great question. This is kind of where it gets a little blurry, right? Because this is where, you know, things like Apple and mobile and Apple and other things, you know, kind of become, you know, a big amorphous blob, right? Because that Android device that a lot of people got for Christmas, they're going to fully expect to be able to bring that into work and do their work or connect to work from home on that new mobile device. So a big question businesses and you know, the federal market in particular has to ask themselves is, how are we managing those devices? How are we managing those connections? How are we applying policies to those new devices out there? If every consumer in the world thinks they can now bring in their devices to work or connect from home, how are they managing those connections? You know, you're essentially extending the business's firewall past the traditional firewall into someone's house onto their device, and they have to think about how they're managing that connection. How are they enforcing policy? How are they stopping data from getting targeted on there?
Now, a lot of the new policies that the federal government is rolling out are controversial, and they invoke politics on both sides of the spectrum here. And you mentioned something called hacktivism, attacks motivated by politics. What is that, and how is it changing as we move into 2011?
You know, it's something that's actually been around for a while. Hacktivism goes back, even into the early 90s and stuff. There was hacktivism, but it took different forms. Whereas now, you can target a popular brand as a way to get your political message out, or it may not even be technically a political message. You may not like someone's particular point of view on a particular subject. You denial of service their Twitter account, the denial of service their Facebook account. So right now it's just very popular as to pick your fights online and target a big brand. Operation Payback is a very good example of that. Although, again, you know, the issues that WikiLeaks has brought up have been around for a long time. But it's just now the problem is the tools are readily available. You don't have to have any technical capabilities or technical abilities whatsoever to click a tool to denial of service or website. So, you know, you got the fact that people are very active online. They may like or not like your particular statement, and they'll take it out on an associated website, or they'll take down Bank of America, or they'll take down MasterCard as a way to get their message across. So, you know, it's something that I think a lot more businesses and the federal government really needs to be aware that if you find yourself on one side of a political argument, you may in fact find yourself getting denial of service or attacked. And just make sure you've taken the time to say, how are we protected against someone trying to knock our website offline? As long as you can answer those questions, you'll be fine.